Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Psalms. The Psalms. I want to continue with something that we looked at this past Wednesday night and retrace a few steps that we took, but I'd like to try to move on from there and expand on a little bit, Lord willing. We've been looking at some very simple, basic principles that we can abide by that will bring us a greater joy and peace and satisfaction in life. I won't go into all the details of how all this got started on my mind, other than to say there's an article that I was reading in a journal of psychology, and some points that were made in that particular article I thought were actually very good. And the more I thought about it, I could find scripture relating to each one of those points very quickly. One of the most important, in fact, the first and foremost important principle that we ought to be concerned with and looking for greater joy and peace and satisfaction in life is living with a purpose, understanding that we do have a purpose here in the world, that God has created us, He has created all things, He has created and formed this earth and put us here for a reason, for a purpose, and we have, should have, at the top of our priority in life, to seek His will, to seek His will. Without purpose, without some grasp, and sometimes it escapes us, I understand that, the will that God has for us, it sometimes escapes us, but we are to continually seek His will, and understand what His purpose for us is. Not just in general terms as a people, not just in general terms as a church necessarily, but for each one of us individually. We need to seek His will and find purpose in life. Don't we all want that? Don't we desire to know, why am I here? What am I doing? Is there a reason? Is there a purpose? And we looked at that a couple of weeks ago to begin with. We also talked a little bit about counting our blessings. Counting our blessings. That's a good thing to do when life gets us down. Now, that's a simple statement, I understand. But sometimes we tend to make life probably a little more complicated than it really should be. To my own demise, I suppose, at times we... I allow life to become very cluttered and very complex, and it ought not to be. We get caught up in the world around us, we lose focus. We need to step back, count our blessings. As the psalmist David said, reckon them up in order. Give an accounting. Write it all down. Lay it all out there in front of you. Count your blessings. See just how gracious and merciful God has been to you. We also talked a little bit about nurturing our relationships. That's a good principle to go by. That's where we're going to find some joy and peace and satisfaction in life. Nurturing and focusing on the relationships of life that are most important. Now, obviously, our relationship with God is more important than any other relationship we might have. That's a relationship that He began with you. You weren't seeking Him. You weren't trying to find Him. He came to you first. Okay, so He initiated this relationship, and in fact, He maintains it and sustains it. But it falls upon us to nurture that relationship. As we seek His will, as we seek His purpose, as we become more grateful and more thankful for what He's done for us, we will draw closer to Him. We will draw a closer fellowship and communion with Him. I want to think about this morning, and this is what we talked a little bit about Wednesday night, kindness. Kindness. Practicing kindness. And we talked about this on Wednesday night, but there's so much more to say about it. So I want to begin here in the Psalms, and Psalm 31, I believe, is where I want to start. Psalm 31, and let's go through a few passages of Scripture here in the Old Testament that speaks about kindness. Isn't that... sometimes seems like a rare quality in people around us. How far do simple acts of kindness go in having an influence of people around us? Isn't it a shame that that characteristic, that quality about people is becoming more rare? One reason it is becoming more rare is because people are becoming more and more self-centered. And the Bible tells us that's a part of our nature to begin with, but the Bible tells us that that's how one of the marks of the last times, the perilous times in the last days, that men will be lovers of themselves, and they'll be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We're becoming more and more self-centered, more self-focused, and that's what the culture around us promotes. Every advertisement from fast food to cosmetics to you name it focuses on you. You're worth it. You deserve this. Do this for yourself. We become more and more self-centered, self-focused, and we don't have a lot of regard for other people. That's the culture that we live in today. And so simple acts of kindness, if it's just a young man holding the door open for a girl, is becoming more and more rare. And it's a shame. So we as the people of God ought to emphasize this characteristic, this quality within us. And we're told throughout Scripture to do this very thing. Well, let's look in Psalm 31 and begin reading in verse 21. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. We talked a little bit Wednesday night, and we'll look at it again before we get through this morning, maybe, in how we treat other people in every respect, whether it's showing kindness, showing mercy, grace, love, you name it. We are to consider how God has treated us, how merciful and kind and gracious and loving he has been to us. That's what we're to emulate. That's how we're to treat others in every respect. Kindness is one of those characteristics that we're to demonstrate, that we're to put on, and we'll get to that in the New Testament. But listen to what he says, marvelous kindness. Blessed be the Lord. The psalmist David praises God. Praise God for his marvelous kindness. He has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. His marvelous kindness is responsible for his protection, for our protection. That's one of the ways in which God has shown kindness to you. He has put a fence around you. He has protected you. He says, for I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. When life does get us down, when the culture around us does bring us down, when people mistreat you, try this. Show them some kindness. That's contrary to what we want to do, right? When people mistreat you, when people don't act kindly towards you, when people talk about you behind your back, when people do something to try to cause you harm, what do we want to do? We want to do the same thing to them. Try practicing kindness. An act of kindness towards those who have not been so kind to you. You know what it'll do? It'll relieve you of that anger, or that malice, or that wrath, or whatever it is that person has brought out of you, it will relieve you of that. And I tell you, I've got plenty of that to be relieved of. I don't want malice and anger and wrath in my life, in my heart, in my mind. I don't want that. So practice a little kindness. The psalmist David says, God has showed you marvelous kindness in a strong city. What about Psalm 117? Let's turn several pages over to Psalm 117. It is two short verses. Psalm 117. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. When we think about how kind God has been toward us, when we think about His marvelous kindness, His merciful kindness, we ought to praise the Lord. We ought to bless His holy name. Amen? All right, do you feel like worshiping this morning? I don't know. Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. And sometimes I can't tell by the expression on your face. But we ought to bless the Lord and praise the Lord for His marvelous and merciful kindness. God doesn't owe us kindness, does He? It's merciful kindness. Anything that God does for us is out of pure mercy because we don't deserve anything from Him. His merciful kindness is great toward us. It's not just a small thing, so it shouldn't be just a small thing if we, as we try to practice kindness towards others. You think, you know, and people say, well, that just doesn't mean a whole lot. Give me something more than just being, you know, telling me to be kind to people. That's not a whole lot. I want something great. I want something marvelous. I want something that's going to stand out. I want to make some noise. No, it doesn't take all of that. It doesn't take all of that. Kindness stands out, and it shouldn't be this way, but kindness stands out in the culture in which we live as a great thing because it stands in such contrast to the attitudes of, I'll say, the majority of the people around us. His kindness toward us is marvelous. It's merciful. He says, His truth endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 119. Let's get a few verses there. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 73. We went from the, what's probably the shortest chapter in all the Bible to what's the longest, the longest chapter in all of the Bible. I may be wrong on that, but I believe that's pretty close. Psalm 119, verse 73. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Would you agree with that this morning? Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Are you willing? Do you acknowledge that this morning? God, You have fashioned me. You have made me. This is who I am. Whatever there is about me, this is how You've made me. Now, we understand. He hasn't made us to be the sinners we are. But who we are, our gifts and talents, and even to a great degree, our personality, our tendencies, our bents, that's how God has shaped us and fashioned us. He says, give me understanding that I may learn Thy commandments. Okay, He says, they that fear Thee will be glad when they see me because I have hoped in Thy word. You think about yourself being an influence on those around you because you manifest, you express a hope in the Lord, a hope in His word. Does that cause people around you, are people glad to see you coming? Are they? You know, I know some people that, you know, you kind of hide around, you know, hide behind your desk when they see him coming around the corner. And I shouldn't be that way, I know, but I don't want people to look at me that way, right? You don't either. You want people to be glad when they see you coming, okay? Because you have something, there's something about you. There's an optimism. There's a hope. There's an expectation. There's an anticipation. There's something positive about you that people, they're glad to see you coming around the corner. They're not hiding from you. Okay, we want to be that way, don't we? That's what the psalmist David is saying. We want to be that way. I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right and that Thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. Now, there's a whole sermon in that verse. Thy judgments are right and Thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Yet, or he says, let, I pray Thee, Thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to Thy word, unto Thy servant. Why do we have a hope in His word? Because we find comfort in our afflictions. We find great comfort there. We recognize His kindness toward us. Let I pray Thee Thy merciful kindness. God is merciful to you, is He not? He has been so merciful to you. This is how we're to treat those around us. His merciful kindness. One more here in the book of Psalms, Psalm 141. Psalm 141, verse 5 says, "Let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness." Let the righteous smite me. We don't like to be smitten, do we? We don't like to be reproved, but if the righteous reprove me, if a righteous man corrects me, it's a kindness. Kindness sometimes comes in different forms, right? It comes in a form that we might not always expect. It might surprise us sometimes in how kindness appears to us. Here's a kindness that maybe on the surface doesn't seem so kind. He says, "Let the righteous smite me." In other words, those who are seeking to follow the Lord, who in a godly manner approach me and try to correct me, give me that mild warning, that admonition, it's a kindness. It may sting a little, but it's a kindness. It's a kindness that we all stand in need of. "And let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities." I find myself in a situation where I ought not to be. Maybe I'm there because of my own actions, my own wrong choices. And the righteous, the godly person, my brother, my sister, comes to me and reproves me, corrects me. It is a kindness. So, brothers and sisters, perhaps you hear some correction from time to time from the pulpit. Perhaps personal, privately, one-on-one, you receive that mild warning, that admonition. Count it as a kindness. Receive it as a kindness. The book of Proverbs, we looked at this one Wednesday night, and I want to repeat it before we move on a little further. Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. Again, this is a simple thing, isn't it? This is a simple thing. That's how I need to be instructed. I need the simple instructions. I need the simple principles. Life is complicated. Life becomes complex. I need some simplicity. And God's Word actually contains, more than anything else, a simple message. It really does. It's a simple message. Life is not simple itself, but God's Word and His message for us really is fairly simple. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 22 says, "The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar." He says, the desire of a man is his kindness. Two or three ways you can look at that. You can look at that as this man's ornament that he's wearing, that he's putting on for others to see, is kindness. You can look at it this way. A man's honor, that which others will honor in him, is his kindness. And you can also look at it in this sense, that which belongs to a man, or that which comes forth from a man, that would be desirable by others, is his kindness. Kindness has greater influence on people around us than what we realize. I want you to think right now, what is the next act of kindness I am going to do? I wonder what the next act of kindness. No, don't wonder about what it will be. Begin to plan it. Begin to plan your next act of kindness. We talked a little bit Wednesday night about certainly an act of kindness ought to come from the heart. But even if your heart is not where it ought to be, even if my heart isn't in the right place, I still need to practice kindness. I still need to show kindness every opportunity I have. I may not feel like it. I may not want to. My heart may not be right. But if I go ahead and do it anyway, then maybe my heart and my feelings and my emotions will catch up with where my mind is. I know what the right thing to do is, whether I want to do it or not. So what will be your next act of kindness? It can be small. It can be a great thing. But any act of kindness, it's a godly thing. And that's always a good thing. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. Well, let's move on a little bit. One more before we leave Proverbs chapter 31. It's a very familiar verse probably to a lot of you. Verse 26, Proverbs 31, verse 26, concerning the virtuous woman. You remember, you've looked at this quite often. We've looked at it from time to time. You're very familiar with it. The virtuous woman, the woman who has the courage to do what is right, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the opposition, regardless of the obstacles. The woman who has the courage to do what is right in all circumstances. Now, we all need a little more virtue, men and women alike. So, one of the characteristics here of the virtuous woman says in verse 26, she opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Now, a whole nother sermon. The tongue is a powerful thing. It can be used for good. It can be used for evil. It can be used to enhance life. It can be used to destroy. It can be used positive, negative. As James says over there, he said it ought not to be. We can bless and we can curse. That's what he said. We can bless and we can curse with the same instrument with our tongue. And it ought not to be. He said, my brethren, these things ought not to be. This characteristic, the tongue of the virtuous woman, the tongue of the virtuous woman, in her tongue is the law of kindness, the principle of kindness. What she says is with a kind attitude. It is kind words. It is with the best of intentions. Kindness considers the other person. Kindness, the law of kindness, the principle of kindness, has respect for the feelings of the other person. The virtuous woman, in her tongue, is the law of kindness. That's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Let's turn over to the New Testament now, the last few minutes here. And let's look a little bit closer. Titus, book of Titus. Turn way over to the book of Titus and let's think a little bit more about the kindness of God. Your kindness towards others ought to reflect God's kindness towards you. Right? Right? Would you agree with that? Titus chapter 3. He says in beginning in verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's our nature. Some of us, before God changed us, some of us manifest that nature to a greater degree than others. But we all have this nature. Our nature is not inclined to be kind to others. Our nature is not inclined to think about others, to respect others, to love others. Our nature is not that way. So kindness doesn't come naturally, except that it is a part of your spiritual man. It is a part of your spiritual nature. So we must do what? We must put down our old nature. We must put to death our old man. And we must manifest and put on the new man. He says, we were all like this. We all have this nature. He said, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. How did the kindness of God appear unto you? The kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. How was that? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Salvation itself is a marvelous and merciful kindness that God has bestowed upon you. Amen? But Titus says that even your salvation is a merciful kindness God has bestowed upon you, not according to your works, not according to our works of righteousness, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's how He has demonstrated His kindness and love toward us, manifested that through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now back up to the book of Ephesians. Here's where I really wanted to spend several minutes. Book of Ephesians, and let's begin in chapter 2, a very familiar passage, and it very much echoes what we just read in Titus chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 2, very familiar passage, and you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. You who were dead, He has made alive. Titus said that in itself is a merciful kindness. That's a kindness that God has shown towards you out of His mercy. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, okay, among whom we also, we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of the our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now we know that. We know that passage. We've heard it often. This is what we are by nature. And it is not our nature to be kind. It is not our nature to show kindness toward others. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy. Titus over there, he said that, you know, we all had this about us. We hated one another. And the thing that made the change was God. After that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Paul says here, God, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Isn't that a kindness? That's a merciful kindness that God would love you even when you were dead in sins. God loved you. Okay, so he says, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved. Now listen to this. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You ever sat in heavenly places? You ever been blessed to sit in a heavenly place here on earth? It's in Christ Jesus. All blessings that we have come through Christ Jesus, right? Everything that we have, everything that God does for us, everything that God gives to us, it's in and through and for the sake of His Son, Jesus Christ. And that in the ages to come, here, well, not completely, not just totally, but part of the reason, part of the ultimate purpose of what God has done for you, he says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The exceeding riches of his grace. The exceeding riches of His grace that came down and brought you out of that state of death and trespasses and in sins, that created a new creature in Christ in you, that exceeding richness of His grace, Paul says, is His kindness. He's demonstrated that through His kindness through Christ Jesus. It's a kindness. So let's don't minimize kindness. The Bible speaks of all of these marvelous things that God has done for you as kindness, demonstrating His kindness. Okay? Well, while we're there, look in chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Ephesians. We're covering a good bit of ground, but we've still got a few minutes to go. Ephesians chapter 4, last two verses. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger. See, that's what I was talking about. We don't want any of that. We don't want that in our lives. There's enough of that in the world around us. We don't want it in our lives and just add to what's already out there in the world. Let all this stuff, let all the bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, let it be put away from you with all malice. Put all that away from you. That's no good. It's not good for us. It's certainly not good for anybody else. And it certainly doesn't honor the Lord. So let all that wrath go. Let it push it. Put it away. Do away with it. Bitterness, anger. Well, it's not that easy. Well, it might be easier than you think. It might be easier. Some of us like to hold on to some of those things, don't we? Some of us actually like to hold on to a little bit of anger. You know, I don't know why. It motivates us sometimes to, you know, we don't need to do that. Anger should never be our motivation. Malice, bitterness, wrath. He says, put all that away. Replace it with what? Be ye kind one to another. Be ye kind one to another. Kindness, it is true, I believe. I believe it is true that we ought to show acts of kindness, whether we really feel like it or not. But kindness does go far beyond just what we do. Kindness includes how we do it, how we say it, our attitude, our intentions. It does include all of that. He says, put away that all that other stuff and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, tender-hearted. You see a lot of hard-hearted people in the world, don't you? Why is that? Why do people become so hard-hearted? And you know, I imagine all of us at one time or another have felt that. Maybe went through a period of time in our lives where we were just hardened. We weren't affected by the infirmities of others. We weren't affected by the feeling. We didn't have concern and care for those around us. We were just hard-hearted. We see people suffering. We see people hurting, and it just is because we get so wrapped up in ourselves. We get so wrapped up in our own lives. Is the focus so much on ourselves that we become hard-hearted, that we lose our sense of compassion and care and kindness for others? He says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. That doesn't mean you have to cry every time you see a kitten, but you know, it does mean that we ought to be affected. Our emotions ought to be affected. I don't know why I thought that. Our emotions ought to be stirred by the desires of others and by the wants of others, by the needs of others. We ought to be stirred by that. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Now, and here's where it's all summed up. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So, in whatever way that God has been kind towards you, in whatever way God has been tender-hearted towards you. Have you ever thought about that? God being tender-hearted? Well, I know He is. I know Christ is tender-hearted. We're told that He's our great high priest, but that He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He is. He's kind and tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, one more. The book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter 3. And let's get a few verses here. Verse 12. Kindness. We're talking about acts of kindness. And if our lives are marked by acts of kindness, if one of the most outstanding characteristics you put on display is kindness, what a fulfilling life that will be. If people see you and they think, that's a kind soul, what a kind person. You talk about peace and satisfaction, a life filled with joy and happiness. Be kind. Don't be kind selectively, because the one that you select not to be kind to, he may be the very one that needs your kindness the most. And you don't know where people have been. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know about them. You don't know their lives. That doesn't mean even after you get to know them and where they've been and what they've been doing and their background, that doesn't mean that then now you have an excuse not to be kind. Just emphasizing the need for kindness wherever we go toward everyone we come in contact with. That sets you apart from the world around us. That sets you apart from the culture. Verse 12 says, put on therefore as the elect of God. The elect of God. You, my friends, are counted among the elect of God. Now we've already seen that what God has done for you was not based upon your works of righteousness, is not based upon anything that of ourselves. When I read over there in 1 Peter chapter 1, when Peter writes to the strangers scattered throughout all of those regions, and he says, elect. Those people he's writing to, he calls them elect. Chosen of God. Elect. According to the foreknowledge of God. Through sanctification of the Spirit. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ. How are you considered to be among the elect of God? He says, according to the foreknowledge of God, through sanctification of the Spirit, the Spirit of God has set you apart. The Spirit of God has indwelled you, cleansed you, and set you apart for a reason, set you apart for a holy use. And part of that includes kindness. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. You have a special title, not because you're special, except that God has made you that way. You wear a royal title, my friends. You represent God Almighty. You represent Christ the King. Amen? So put on, therefore, as one who represents God, as one who represents Christ the Savior, put on, therefore, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Sometimes the world of Christianity, whether it's a church or a community or whoever, a denomination or whoever it might be, sometimes the world of Christianity, you know, we want to go out and conquer the world. Do you think maybe this is how we're to do it? Do you think maybe this is how we are to have the greatest influence on the world around us? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. You see, and those are inseparable. All of those are inseparable. You can't truly show kindness without humility. You can't truly show kindness unless you feel compassion deep down within. It's hard to show kindness if you're not meek. And you're certainly not going to continue to show kindness if you're not long-suffering. Forbearing one another. How often we forbear one another, and we don't even realize it. How often you have shown me forbearance. Thank you. You're very merciful and kind to me. And I didn't realize it. How often we all forbear one another. Because we're all imperfect, right? We all have our little... Well, I have great faults. You have little faults. We all have faults. We all have issues. You know, and so we don't always treat each other the way that we ought to. So we're to be forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Kindness. Kindness goes so much further than what we realize. It's a simple thing. But it's such a contrast to the culture around us, it becomes a very profound thing. So as one who wears the name of Christ, who represents God Almighty, put on kindness.